RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, and first in television, presents the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show. For your enjoyment, here is the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show, written by Ray Singer and Dick Chevrolet, with Elliot Lewis, Walter Tetley, Robert North, Janine Roos, Ann Whitfield, Walter Scharf in his music, and yours truly, Bill Forman. Phil's charm has always been very persuasive with the opposite sex. Tonight he finds it a good deal more persuasive than he bargained for. More about that in a moment. But first, a word from RCA Victor. Now you can buy RCA Victor television at prices you cannot afford to miss. Now you can buy the new television superset at the lowest prices ever. So go straight to your RCA Victor dealers tomorrow morning and let him show you the 17-inch Colby superset. You can buy the Colby now for only $229.95. Think of it, $229.95 for an RCA Victor superset with picture power, the best you can buy. Or you can choose the Selfridge Ensemble for only $379.50. It's big 21-inch television with a beautiful matching consolette base. It's console television at a table model price. So buy the Selfridge Ensemble, or if you prefer, get the 17-inch Colby. Take advantage of these new low prices brought to you by RCA Victor, cornerstone of home entertainment for three generations. And now the stars of the RCA Victor program, Alice Faye and Phil Harris. This morning, while Phil was sleeping, Mr. Scott of the RCA Victor Company called and told Alice that he was going to drop in and see Phil about a matter of importance. Phil has just come down, and Alice is relaying Mr. Scott's message to him.
He didn't say what he wanted, Phil. He just said he'll tell you when he gets here.
I wonder what Mr. Scott had on his mind. Could he be mad at me for something? No. What could I have done that he'd be mad about?
Maybe he heard your show last week.
Well, if it ain't the first daffodil of spring. Little petunia head.
Say, Phil, do you think Willie could be right? Is it possible that RCA Victor is unhappy with the way you're doing the show?
Unhappy with me? Oh, Ruby, relax. Everybody says that I'm the hottest thing to hit the airwaves since Jessica Dragonetta.
I wouldn't worry if I were you, Philip. If your sponsor's unhappy with you, you don't need them. Well, with your talent as a musician, you can always get another job.
Oh, you think so, huh?
Mm-hmm. There's a great demand for Cherokee tom-tom beaters.
Oh, now, Phil, I don't think this has anything to do with your ability. But perhaps Mr. Scott is a little annoyed with your brashness. You know, you haven't been as respectful as you should be to your boss.
Well, maybe I have been too irrepressible. Maybe that I have... Uh-oh, that must be Mr. Scott. Well, if it's respect he wants, I'll pour it on. Oh, good morning, sir. I'm your humble servant. Your wish is my command.
Go make me a mint julep, Jeeves.
Oh, it's you, Remley. Come on inside.
Yeah.
I thought that you were Mr. Scott, the sponsor.
You're going to be nasty. I'll go out again. What's the sponsor coming over here for?
Well, I don't know. And frankly, he's got me worried. Mr. Scott may be coming over to fire me.
Well, if you don't know, why look at the black side of things? Maybe it's coming over here has nothing to do with your job. Maybe it's a simple thing that has nothing to do with the show.
Like what?
Maybe he's in love with Alice and wants you to give her a divorce.
Frank, look, this is serious. The boss is...
Well, if that's Mr. Scott, why don't you... Oh, hello, Frankie.
Hello, Alice. Curly seems to be worried about his job. I was cheering him up.
Yeah.
Phil, you're being very silly. You're building things up in your own mind without knowing what it's about. Has it ever occurred to you that Mr. Scott might be happy with you on the show?
Oh, Alice, you and your wild ideas.
It's not wild at all. Phil's doing a good job on the show. He's selling lots of RCA Victor products, and he's helped their business. You know, I think maybe Mr. Scott is coming over to give him a slight increase in salary.
Yeah, that's it. I've helped his business, and in appreciation, he's giving me a slight increase. A slight increase? Why, that ingrate. I've tripled his business, and all he wants to give me is a slight increase.
Oh, for goodness sakes,
Phil. Well, I'm not going to let him get away with that. Wait till I see him. I'll tell... That must be him now. I can't wait to tell him off a slight...
Good morning, Mr. Harris.
You cheapskate. After all I've done for you, you have the nerve to offer me a measly $2 raise.
Perhaps I'd better come back when he's sober. See you later, Harris.
Oh, don't go, Mr. Scott. Please come in.
Oh, very well, Mrs. Harris.
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Scott, but I'm a little excited. I can't wait to find out why you came to see me. Now, tell me, Mr. Scott, are you here to give me a raise?
Oh, come now, Clyde.
Well, you're not here to cut my salary, are you?
No, but when I get back to the office, I'll drop it in the suggestion box. No, Harris, I'm not here to cut your salary.
Well, then, why are you here? Why are you here?
If you'll shut your cornpone mouth, I'll tell you. I'm merely here to ask a little favor of you.
Oh, is that all? Well, anything you want, Sahib. Boss man, great white father.
I just want to ask
you... Hey, Curly, what kind of a host are you? You leave me standing in... Oh, it's the prime rib himself.
Well, if it isn't Remley the no-talent kid.
That's a pretty nasty remark. Scotty, I'm not going to beat around the bush. I don't like you.
I don't like you.
I just said that. Don't be a copycat.
Thank you. Will you please stop? I don't want to get many beefs.
Curly, you're my best friend, and I'm not going to stand by and let this old potbelly fire you.
Remley, he ain't firing me. Scotty, look, pay no attention to Frankie. The poor kid don't know what he's saying. You see, his mind...
You mean he's...
Like a bag of cashews. You see, Mr. Scott, he has a loose connection in his master switch. It's caused by the fact that he hates his father.
I should think it would be the other way around.
But, Mr. Scott, you wouldn't... Think of firing me, would you?
Harris, what is this firing complex you have? Is there something wrong on the show? Have you been receiving threatening letters from the public?
No, of course not. The public loves my radio show. Everybody's crazy about it. And if you don't believe me, just ask anybody.
That isn't necessary. I don't have to ask.
No, I insist. I want you to know how people feel about me. I want you to ask the next person you see.
Anybody home? I brought the groceries.
I should have my tongue tied in a knot. Mr. Scott, but don't ask Julius.
And why not? A grocery boy should be a good average listener. Son, my name is Scott, and I want to ask you a few questions about Mr. Harris.
I don't know what crime's been committed, but he done it, officer.
Julius, he's not a cop. He's my...
No prompting, Harris. I'll do the talking. Son, what do you think of the Phil Harris radio show?
There is a good question. And I'm just the kid who can give you a good answer.
Julius Ixnay.
That show is beyond a question of a doubt about
that. Oh, Julius. Hey, I just happen to think I owe you $20, kid. Here it is.
Well, you don't owe. Oh, of course, the 20. I'll take it.
Well, now, first answer Mr. Scott's question.
Okay. What was the question again, sir?
I said, how do you like Harris on his radio show?
I think he's the funniest man in the world. He's the best comedian on the airwaves. He's sensational, colossal. I'll take that 20 now.
Do you really think he's that good, Julius?
I certainly do. Why, every week, the two of us sit there listening to the show and just laugh our heads off.
The two of you?
Yeah, me and me psychiatrist.
Look, Julius, this is no time to kid around. This is my sponsor.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mr. Scott, I love that show, and I never miss it.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. How do you like the commercials?
Them commercials is wonderful. You have such great products to sell.
Do you ever buy our product?
Oh, I'd like to, but I'm too young to drink Bock beer.
We don't make beer. We make records, record players, radios, and television sets.
Oh, of course, yeah. I got one of your television consoles at home.
What's the name of it?
The name?
Hmm.
Ictor Vayetse.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Scott, I am the proud owner of an Ictor Vayetse.
What kind is that?
Don't ask me. He made it up.
All right. Mr. Scott, what he means is that he has an RCA Victor set. And what a set. It has the brightest picture you ever saw. Julius, tell Mr. Scott how bright your picture is.
Gladly. Mr. Scott, our picture's so bright that we buried our set 3 feet under the ground and we still have to wear dark glasses to watch it. And with that unsolicited testimonial, I take my leave. Good day, gentlemen.
Hmm. 3 feet underground. I don't believe even our engineers knew it was that good.
Oh, Mr. Scott, it's better than that. Why, do you know that on a clear day, you can put that set 2 miles away and you can see
Don't overdo it, Harris. Now, I'm here to talk to you about... what was it again? Oh, yes, it's about my daughter. Her school is giving a dance. She's on the entertainment committee and she insists your band play for the dance.
Oh, is that all? Mm-hmm. Oh, gee whiz. Well, that would be an honor. Of all the bands to choose from, she picks mine? Tell me, why does she like my band so much?
She's tone deaf. By the way, Mrs. Harris, would you consent to come along and sing a few numbers for the youngsters?
Oh, it'll be a pleasure.
Oh, thank you. The entertainment committee is meeting at the school gym in about an hour. I wonder if you two would mind coming over to discuss the program with
them. Oh, sure, we'll be over.
I'll be there too, Scotty.
Oh, goody. Don't put yourself out, Remley.
Well, that's no trouble at all. I'll bring my guitar.
Well, we could use your guitar.
You want me to play, huh?
No, but after the dance, they're having a wiener roast, and they'll need some wood to start the fire.
See you folks at the gym. Goodbye.
Nice fella. Has all the charm of an old catcher's mitt.
Oh.
Say, gee, if they want me to sing tonight, I'd better rehearse my song.
When?
Right now.
Oh.
You keep me waiting till it's getting aggravating. You're a slowpoke. I wait and worry, but you never seem to hurry. You're a slowpoke. Time means nothing to you. I wait and then late again. 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, quarter to ten. Why should I linger every time you snap your finger, little slowpoke? Why can't you hasten when you see the time's a-wasting? You're a slowpoke, dear. Why should I keep trying to change you? It's not the thing to do. I guess I'll have to learn to be a slowpoke, too.
Slowpoke, slowpoke, why take your time? It's nearly quarter to nine. We'll miss that opening curtain time. You keep me waiting till it's getting aggravating. You're a slowpoke.
Oh, come on, boys, get with it.
I wait and worry, but you never seem to hurry. You're a slowpoke.
Showtime. Time means nothing to you. I wait and then, late again. 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, quarter to ten.
Why should I linger every time you snap your finger? You're a slowpoke. Why can't you hasten when you see the time's a-wasting? You're a slowpoke, dear. Why should I keep trying to change you? It's not the thing to do. I guess I'll have to learn to be a slowpoke.
Oh, there you are, Mr. Harris. It's nice of you and Mrs. Harris to come over to the gym. Remley couldn't make it, eh?
Oh, no, Mr. Scott. He'll be here soon. He went home to get his guitar.
Oh.
Which one of these two lovely girls is your daughter, Mr. Scott?
They're both mine. This is little Laurie. She's just 8 years old. She sort of tags along after her sister.
Oh, hello, Laurie. My, but you're a bright-looking child.
Yes, but not as bright as an RCA Victor television set. The only set that has picture power and can be seen in fringe areas.
No, not now, dear.
Daddy, introduce me.
Oh, I'm sorry. Marjorie, I want you to meet Mr. and Mrs. Harris.
Hello, Marjorie.
How do you do, Mrs. Harris?
Hi, Margie.
Hello, Curly. I hope you don't mind my calling you Curly, but all the kids do.
Oh, that's all right. Margie, your dad tells me that you insisted on having my band play at your dance. Why did you pick me?
Who else is there? I bet you'll look keen up there in the bandstand. I can just picture you in a tuxedo. You must look terrific.
Oh, no, I don't.
I'll bet you do.
No, really, I don't.
But you must.
Marjorie, have you ever seen Curly in a tuxedo?
No, I haven't.
Well, I have, and the boy knows what he's talking about.
Alice, I don't think it's very nice of you to contradict Miss Scott.
Mr. Harris, please pay no attention to Marjorie. She's only 16, and anything looks good to her. Now, why don't you and Mrs. Harris come along and meet some of the other girls?
Oh, Daddy, why don't you and Mrs. Harris go alone? I want to discuss the dance with Mr. Harris. You go with Daddy, Laurie.
Okay. But, Margie...
What?
I don't think Curly's as good-looking as you said he was. See you later.
Poor little kid. Only 8 years old, and already she's so nearsighted. They call it stigmatism. Well, Margie, what kind of music would you like at the dance now? We can give you Dixieland, 4-beat, or how about a little bebop with a Lombardo float?
It's not the dance I want to discuss, Curly. May I be brutally frank?
Oh, yeah, sure. What's on your mind?
I hope you won't misunderstand me, but, well, we moderns believe that curbing one's emotions can result in a serious frustration that tends to impair one's psychological development. Don't you agree?
Yes. Allegorically speaking. But, perusing it superficially, I find it rather rhetorical. I love algebra, don't you?
Curly, I'll get right to the point. You might not believe me when I say this, but I think you're charming and handsome and the most wonderful man in the world.
Yeah. But what were you going to tell me that I might not believe?
I know I have no right to say this, but I can't help myself. I'm in love with you.
You're in what? With who?
I'm in love with you. You don't hate me for feeling that way, do you?
No. It's a perfectly normal feminine reaction. But Marge, let's face it. This is madness.
Oh, you're laughing at me.
No, I'm not, honey. Honest, I'm not. But, well, you're a little late, kid. I've already been spoken for. Look, Margie, you just got a schoolgirl crush. You'll get over it. I ain't saying you'll ever be the same again. But honest, honey, you'll survive.
Don't you like me just a little bit?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, man. I think you're a swell kid, but Margie, I'm a happily married man.
Are you happy? Are you really happy being married to an older woman?
Oh, she's not that much older than I am. Look, Margie, if you'll excuse me, I think I hear Alice calling me. I'll see you around, Margie.
Au revoir, Sherry. Oh, he's so irresistible.
Marjorie, don't you think it's about time you got started? Marjorie, you look sick. What's the matter?
Daddy, I'm in love.
Oh, that again. Well, who is the lucky boy this time?
Phil Harris.
Oh, no.
No, 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 no! No! No!
Get up off the floor! You're causing a scene!
I won't stand for it! I'm Harris! Harris! Marjorie, you run along. I'll take care of this.
Wait a minute. What's up, Mr. Scott? What's all the excitement
about?
As
if you didn't know. You old roué. My daughter just told me she's in love with you.
Well, it ain't my fault. Besides, what's to get so excited about? She's just a school kid with a crush. She'll forget about me by tomorrow.
I refuse to be tortured that long. Harris, if you don't make her fall out of love with you by the time you leave here today, I'll have you barred from radio for life. I'll give you a...
Mr. Scott! If he was in the death of a salesman. Mr. Scott. Oh, why couldn't I have been born homely?
Phil, what was all the racket over here? What's Mr. Scott's
the
matter
Alice,
about?
Oh, Alice, am I in trouble? Now, look, you've got to be sympathetic. Honey, Mr. Scott's daughter is in love with me.
Oh, that poor girl.
Never mind that poor girl. Think of me. Scott threatened to bar me from radio unless I can make her forget me before we leave here. Now, look, Alice, you've got to talk to her. Talk to her and try to convince her that I'm not as wonderful as I am. But do it in a nice way now, will you?
Phil, she's headed this way. You duck behind this post and let me handle it.
Okay.
Go ahead. I'll fix everything, but good.
Oh, Mrs. Harris, didn't I just see Mr. Harris here? Where'd he go?
Oh, he'll be right back, Marjorie. He stepped out to adjust his girdle.
His girdle?
Yes. Middle-aged spread, you know. All men get a little paunchy when they reach the halfway mark.
Halfway mark? My mother used to take me to see her pictures.
Mrs. Harris, what do you mean halfway mark? Mr. Harris can't be a day over 30. He doesn't have a wrinkle in his face.
Plastic surgery does wonders.
You mean he's had his face lifted?
4 times.
All I did was go in and get an estimate once.
Mrs. Harris, did he really have his face lifted that much?
Yes. In fact, he overdid it. Last time he had to go back and have it lowered. His nose was lifted so high, every time he sneezed, he blew his hat off.
Oh, now she's reaching.
I don't believe you, Mrs. Harris. If he were as old as you say, he couldn't sing the way he does. His voice has such a wonderful quiver.
Upper plate wobble.
Mrs. Harris, I'm sorry, but I don't believe a word you say. You are very fortunate to be married to such a wonderful man. And if he were mine, I couldn't talk about him the way you do. Goodbye.
That's telling her, Margie.
Well, Phil, you can come out now. I'm sorry it didn't work, but I tried.
Oh, yeah, you tried. To hear you talk, you'd think you were married to an old Essex. Didn't do any good either. Now, Alice, how am I going to discourage this girl? I can't... Hey, wait a minute. Remley. There's the guy that can get me out of this. Good
Hi,
old
Charlie. Sorry I'm late, but
oh,
I had to stop.
Frankie, don't worry about it. You're just in time. Man, are you the guy I'm looking for? Remley, I'm in a lot of trouble. Now, you got to do me a big favor. Mr. Scott's daughter has fallen madly in love with me.
It's
Scotty didn't tell me he had a half-wit daughter. Must be hereditary.
Please. Now, listen to me. All I want you to do is to take her off my hands.
Okay. What's she look like, girl?
Never mind that. Look, she's standing over there with those other girls. See her right over there? Now, go over and ask her for... Just go over and say that you want to speak to Miss Scott, and then make up to her.
All right, what do you want me to tell her?
Tell her anything. Tell her that you're in love with her. You can't live without her. That you want to marry her.
Okay. Ah, the things I'd do for that guy. Oh, well, she probably won't be interested in me. She goes for Curly. She won't like the Tyrone Power type like me. No, I'll just tell her that
Hello, mister.
Somebody talking? Oh, you're down there. Hey, kid, maybe you can help me. Where can I find Mr. Scott's daughter?
I'm his daughter. I'm Laurie Scott.
You're... Oh, I gotta have a talk with Curly. Look, kid, are you sure you're Mr. Scott's daughter?
Yes.
I don't get it, but Curly asked me to do it, so here goes. Laurie, I'm madly in love with you and I want to marry you. What do you say?
Okay.
Eager little beaver, ain't you? Look, Laurie, let's not rush into this. I may not be the one for you. Shop around a little.
I don't wanna. I like you. You're funny looking, but you're cute.
Thanks a lot.
What's your name?
Frankie Remley. Why?
So I can tell Daddy when I ask him if it's all right to marry you.
Wait a minute, kid. Come back. Don't get him. Kid! Oh, no!
Daddy, Mrs. Harris made me realize that Curly is much too old for me, and I am no longer in love with him.
Oh, thank goodness. Now I can face the world again.
Daddy, can I talk to you?
Yes, Laurie. What is it, dear?
Daddy, I'm in love.
Oh, you're a little too young. Wait a minute. Laurie, please, please tell me it's not Phil Harris.
Oh, no, it's not him, Daddy.
Oh, thank goodness. Who are you in love with, dear? What's the little boy's name?
Frankie Remley.
Oh, no.
No, 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 no! No, no!
Don't throw yourself through the window!
Alice and Phil will be back in just a moment. Supersets are what you'd expect from RCA Victor. It's television that's superior in every sense of the word. And now you can buy RCA Victor supersets at the lowest prices ever. Yes, now you can buy a superset like the 17-inch Colby for only $229.95. And that's an amazingly low price to pay for a table model that gives you clearest reception possible wherever you live. What's more, if you'd prefer console-style television at a table model price, you can choose the Selfridge Ensemble. It's a 21-inch super set with a matching consolette base for only $379.50. And bear in mind that these prices are complete. They include federal excise tax, full-year warranty on your picture tube, and no extra charge for your favorite finish mahogany. So get the Selfridge Ensemble or the Colby, made by RCA Victor.
Thank you, Bill. Folks, this is Phil again. In spite of the many appeals made on the air, the supplies of blood and blood plasma are still far short of the needs of our fighting forces in Korea. A minimum of 300,000 pints of blood a month is essential. We've got to give more blood now. Make a date with your Red Cross Blood Center tomorrow. Will you do that for us? Good night, and thank you.
Good night, everybody.
This program is produced and directed by Paul Phillips. Remember, whether you're buying a television set, a radio, a Victrola phonograph, or record, put your faith in the cornerstone of American home entertainment for three generations. RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in television.
Next, Theater Guild on the Air stars Basil Rathbone on NBC.